Welcome to the Goddesses of Social Work podcast, hosted by Renita Ray Davis, licensed clinical social worker, board-approved social work clinical supervisor, and facilitator of the Goddesses of Social Work supervision community. Join us as we travel through the social work journeys told by the Goddesses of Social Work community members, past and present, as they make their way toward clinical licensure.
On today's special episode of the Goddesses of Social Work podcast, celebrating the 2024 Social Work Month NASW theme, Empowering Social Workers, Inspiring Action, Leading Change, Arielle Jones, LMSW, has joined the show. Arielle Jones, LMSW, graduated from the University of Montefiore in 2011 with a Bachelor's of Science degree in Child and Family Studies and received her Master's degree in Social Work from the University of Alabama in 2016. She received her LMSW in 2021 and started supervision in 2022. Arielle has worked with several populations within the social work profession in her almost decade-long social work career and is currently working as a travel social worker. The highlights of being a travel social worker for Arielle are meeting new people, gaining friends all over the United States, and exploring new cities. In her spare time, she enjoys Hulu binges, trying new restaurants with friends, concerts, leisure traveling, and spa days. Welcome back to the show, Arielle. Super excited to have you.
Thank you for having me back.
Yay. Arielle, happy Social Work Month.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah. The motivation behind this year's social work theme proposed by the NASW is Empowering Social Workers, Inspiring Action, Leading Change. And it states that social workers need support to meet the high demand for their vital work and should get higher pay. My first question, Arielle, is what has been your experience with the salary gap within the social work profession? Have you had any experience having to negotiate your salary? And if so, and or not, what advice can you give other social workers who may be struggling with salary negotiation?
I remember the first time I negotiated my salary, I've always just been I'll just take whatever, like fresh out of school. That's how it was. When I started working in a hospital, I had a certain amount of income that I wanted to make. So, you know, they asked for your amount or whatever. And I told them, and they were like, no, we're going to offer you, I think it was like $6,000 less. I was like, no, this is a hospital. I can stay where I'm working if I'm going to make that. And so they were like, well, this is what we pay people. I was like, okay, well, you know, thank you for your time. So then they worked things out with HR and it was like maybe $20 less than what not $20, but like, just say if I asked for $40,000, it was like $39,980, something like that. So, yeah, but I advocated then, but they told me, they said, we're going to give you this, but don't tell anybody else. And so, you don't really discuss salary. Well, that's what I've always thought until I became a travel social worker. And I started seeing, even in our contracts, how there could be five social workers and we're all making different amounts. So I'm like, I'm open when it comes to discussing salary now because people are being cheated and it helps people increase their salary if you're just open about it. And it's not really illegal. Companies try to make it sound like it's illegal, but I've been learning lately that's their way to keep things quiet and it's not illegal.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because one of the things we talk a lot about is salary transparency. Mm-hmm. And that is how, the fact that they said, well, don't tell anybody. And mm-hmm. as a new social worker right out of school, you're thinking, we'll be trained up to think, like you said, that, oh, you're not supposed to talk about salary. But that's how they keep us making these lower salaries. I loved mm-hmm. how you said that. What has been, because you are working with different social workers in different environments in different states, what has been your experience with salary transparency, talking about it? What was that first conversation like for you?
Well, before the whole travel social work thing, I just thought about a time with my first job. We five of us were hired together. We all had the same salary, super low, like $28,000. So Then my friend joined and she was from DHR, but she had an MSW like all of us. And she was making 33. She told me, I told another friend. Next thing I know, the whole department knows and they're going to the HR people. So we each got called in the office and they gave us a raise to match her salary, but talked to us about how, that's illegal to do that and we could be in trouble and written up and stuff. So I've been scared from that moment. But I see how they had to match it. And they're really, I think they just wanted her. I mean, not saying that she wasn't great, but that was a way to get her because she was like, I'm making this or I'm not, working there. But with travel social work, I still had that mentality when I started. Until I started hearing how we all made different amounts and stuff. And so that's why I was like, no. And one of the travel friends actually stopped me because I was like, well, I don't want to discuss it. She was like, no, they're lowballing us and we need to know what each other are making if we're in the same hospital. So after that, I don't mind telling other travelers what I'm making.
I have two thoughts and questions. I'm going to say both so I don't forget them. One, your social work friend at your first job who was in MSW came in at 33. One, I love that she was like, no, I'm making this here. I would love to work for you, but I'm not going to take a salary cut. And I think so often those of us who are afraid to discuss salary negotiation in the HR offices, we don't realize how we're helping social workers maybe that are already there and or the social workers who are coming behind us, because she said that the other four social workers in the department got a $5,000 raise, right? And so sometimes I don't think when we stand, I don't think we realize when we stand on our square and say, no, I'm not taking a salary cut. I'm going to stay where I am and or increase my salary. We're helping other social workers who are surrounding us and are coming behind us. That's the first thought. But then the second thought is when you're talking about your travel, being scared to talk about salary negotiation, and you said they said it was illegal. Where do you think that comes from, and how did you get over? Did you find research that is not illegal to discuss salary, or what was that about for you?
I'm seeing a lot of posts on social media, LinkedIn specifically, where they're I think I hope I've saved the post, but it's saying when they say it's illegal, you ask them to see the policy and procedure where they can point it out where it's illegal. And most of the time they can't. So, they kind of step down when you say it like that. 'Cause I don't really, I'm getting better, but that wasn't my personality to go back and forth. If they tell me something can get you written up, I'm just like, oh, okay, But now I'm like, okay, you do. And I think you mentioned that in supervision. We need to start reading our policy and procedures about everything, like all the policies. And so I am getting a little better now with my personal travel company, and you have to read the policy of the hospitals you're going to. So.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone, if you have a problem, make sure you read your SOP or PNP, whatever it's called, standard operating procedure or policy and procedure manual. Then when you're able to go to your supervisor and or the HR manager, you're able to say, we're talking about not just salary, we're talking about caseloads, we're talking about operating procedures. When they're asking you to do way more than what your job description, duties, and responsibilities state, if you have that stuff in writing, and I'm finding more and more agencies and organizations aren't offering it up front when they hire. And I want to make sure that we encourage folks to get your standard operating procedure manuals and get your policy and procedure manuals. And even if it was the first week and you sat there all week long for 8 hours a day and was reading that SOP, make sure you keep a copy of it, because when things pop off in a year, you're able to refer back to it and say, hey, this is what your policy and procedure manual says, but this is what you're asking me to do. Make it make sense. Yeah, that was awesome.
Definitely.
Aria, one last question regarding the salary gap question that I have for you. That first time when you're like, no, this is what I had in mind, did you do research beforehand when they were offering you the job to see what social workers and or people in that job description were making? How did you know to ask for that certain amount and then stand on your 10 in regards to that certain amount?
So I was kind of confused when, because I thought the amount was in the like on Indeed or something. So I told the HR person that, and she told me, no, we never put the amount. And so I was like, well, where did I see that? So, I was working for a certain hospital. So a lot of times UAB, they'll put the salary range and stuff. And I just wanted to make more than what I was making at the current place and kind of match what I was making when I was in psych. What I didn't realize at the time, a lot of times psych jobs will be more than medical social work. So that was just the number I had in mind that I knew that I could live comfortably back then. But now I'm like that's even too low. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And I love that you knew it was a number that you could live comfortably, live off comfortably, and you didn't back down from that. That's good. Ariel, as the NESW has shared in its press release and proclamation for Social Work Month, social work is one of the fastest growing professions in the United States, and that we as social workers are on the front line for some of the toughest crises this nation has faced. Can you give me an example or examples of your frontline experience, and what advice would you give to social workers entering the field over the next few years?
So one thing about me, I've worked in psych and substance abuse and now medical. I was actually in the nail shop yesterday, and we make jokes about this, how social workers, we can talk about social work stuff and it doesn't bother us because this is normal to us. So the lady who was doing my nails, I told her I was a travel social worker, and she was like, I graduated with a bachelor's in psychology. And she was like, do you work in psych when you do all this? And I said, well, I've worked in psych, but that's not my field anymore. I'm just not a fan. And she was like, well, why not? And I told her, I think one story. When I looked up from telling her that, she was just staring at me. And the person who was doing my toes, she was just staring at me. And to me, that's normal. So I'm like, oh my goodness, was it like, have I dealt with a lot of trauma in this field? And I know I have, but to me, that was just a regular. I told her about an instance where the person was dealing with psychosis. And when they're dealing with psychosis, they can get like strength that they don't normally have. And I told her how he was throwing staff members, like big grown men, nurse, like, and she was like, well, was he a big guy? And I was like, no, he was just dealing with psychosis. And I was like, little scrawny fellow. But I mean, even though that was traumatic when it happened, I'm like, that's psych. And I had to get away because I hated fearing for my life every day going to work. So, and you have to be careful now anywhere you work, but just knowing there's a possibility dealing like working in psych and even in hospitals now. Like the other day, I was doing a training, and now they always do the active shooter training. And I remember when I first started social work, we didn't do active shooter trainings, but stuff happens in hospitals now all the time. So you just have to be aware and know the process of what to do.
Absolutely. Thank you for the work that you do. It is tough work. And even when you were talking about the guy throwing the big men across the room, I was like, yeah. And you were right. I think we do normal as social workers, we do normalize that. And it's like that's just another social work story. But for others who don't have not ever dealt with that, I guess it would be a little shocking. But what advice, Ariel, do you have for up and coming social workers who are hearing stories like that that we've normalized and are like, oh my gosh, what am I getting myself into? What advice would you have?
Know your why. You tell us this a lot. I don't really know, when I joined social work, I just wanted to help people. I wanted to save the world. But I have a friend who's fresh out of grad school. Well, he's been out of grad school a couple years, and a lot of, like when I was trying to help him find jobs, he was like, no, that pay is too low. No, I don't want to do this. No. And I was like, you're a brand new social worker. What do you mean? But I learned from him, you don't have to settle. So, people always tell social workers in school, you're not going to make a lot. You're not going to do this. You will make a lot. You just have to, make sure you're getting your license, your clinical license, and don't be afraid to job hop. And I've learned that, our license, is our, I forgot what you call it, but your license is your job. So yeah, just, stand your ground, know, work hard wherever you go and make sure you're gaining the experience, because even though I haven't necessarily stayed places a year or two, or, just along, I've learned, made sure I learn a lot. And I had supervisors to tell me, no matter how long you stay here, just make sure you're learning and doing the most you can. And I've really valued every job that I've had. Like, I could take away a lot from it.
And I'm so glad you brought that up. That is so good. A couple of things, but maybe I'll only remember one, and we'll talk about the license. But really, the MSW degree, because some people are going to go into macro social work and may not, feel like they need the license, even though I really want to encourage everybody to get your license because there's so much value to it if you're able to do that. But we talk about the license being mobile. Right, you have a mobile license. You don't have to stay stuck in one agency or organization, but also it's not the job that is your career. Your license is your career, is what I say, right? And so we get loyal to these jobs, and I want you guys to be loyal to your license. So if the job is not valuing that those letters behind your name, whether it's with the activities and tasks they're asking you to do, and or with the monetary compensation that they're offering you, be loyal to your license, not to that job. Yeah, very good. And then secondly, the dude, I love that he's just out of school and he's teaching us who've been in the field for a minute. Yeah, well, we're not going to settle. And that is so important. I think that's why when you were talking about your friend, MSW, who came in and was making 33, and she was like, no, I'm not going to settle for 28. We have to have more people who are saying no to these agencies and organizations, because if all of us just like, okay, I'll take whatever you give me. We're never going to progress the profession forward. So good kudos to your friend, both of them, for being in your environment to be able to teach us those lessons today. Ariel, we are at our last question, and it's been such a great conversation. But you're going to be at LCSW this year. Awesome. Congratulations. I'm so excited for you. I said LCSW, but because I know you're licensed in multiple states, but here in Alabama, it is the LICSW. But that is the highest license recognized by the profession. With that license comes an energy of leadership and respect within our profession. How did you see yourself as an agent of change, and what changes would you like to see happen within social work?
I really had to think about this question, but the kind of the respect that social workers get, like, we're seen as bottom of the barrel. Nobody knows everything that we deal with on a daily basis. And I don't know if you saw the video from Ludacris yesterday telling us happy social work month. I was like, well, how does he know about social work? And so I was reading the comments and they said that he played a social worker, for a movie role or something. And I was like, that's so great, because people just think, oh, you just take people's kids. And even if you do, that's still a tough job. But it's draining, it's rewarding, it's so much that we do. And I would love to advocate for the pay to be raised. Like, we shouldn't, like, I was talking to another girl in supervision this week, and we were talking about how, we do the same type of work, working in hospitals, doing travel social work, doing the same thing that the RN case managers do, but they get paid more. And we have master's degrees, licenses, and some of them don't even have bachelor's. So it's like, it's not fair when you're doing the same type of work. So just advocating for pay raises and just the field in general. I kind of taken a step back and I don't really advocate for social work. I'm just still like kind of doing my research right now. But in the future, once I get my clinical license, I want to bring more awareness to the field and the disparities that we deal with.
Even though you think you're not advocating, saying yes to coming on this podcast and talking about salary negotiation, talking about the stories of all the different types of tough populations that we work on with psych. We didn't even get into the fact that you were a medical social worker during, the pandemic. I'm thinking post-pandemic, but even still now, you're in medical social work and we're still dealing with all of that. That's a scary, position to be in for some folks. And then continue to work on your clinical license. You showing up today is advocating for the profession. So I want to make sure you know that. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Ariel, thank you so much for joining the Goddesses of Social Work podcast today. It was such a pleasure, and thank you for dropping all your nuggets of wisdom.
Okay, I always enjoy myself, and thank you for inviting me again.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. We are glad you were here. If you like this episode, please come back to hear more stories of the journeys through social work, and please leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. See you next time here on the Goddesses of Social Work podcast.